the movies. It is the general idea that God is at work everywhere. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you can hear not just God speaking, but also the cries of humanity, the questions people have, the stories that are resonating in culture and in societies. Engage with what it is that the media, the movies, the TV shows, critically think through them, and not in a way where you're like critiquing them all the time, but in a way where you're engaging with them in a meaningful way. What is it about this that resonates with you? What's true about it? What's false about it? What are the claims of this that are not true? What are the things that are happening? We shouldn't turn our brain off. We shouldn't turn our spirit off. We shouldn't turn God off, ever. How do we begin to attune to stories that move us, why they move us, how we see God at work in the world? So this is a series kind of along those lines.
All right. Well, James, it's been a minute.
Yeah. Little while.
Little while. And that was last season was we've had incredible feedback. Horrible and incredible feedback, I should say. So we've heard from advocates and victims. Actually, I've heard from many advocates that the episode on grooming that we did with Charlotte was one of the best they've ever heard.
I heard that last week from someone who's shared some of their journey with me. Actually, they just said that really put a new perspective on things and how helpful that was. It's interesting because as we were going through them, I wonder which ones of these will land with people, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm not surprised. I think Charlotte's the best, so I'm not surprised that she was great. And
I people think thought she's the best great, too, but no offense to any other guests.
They were all really brilliant. So
yeah, and the other thing that's really interesting to me is, you know, we knew that was going to be a really hard, difficult season. I mean, it was hard for us to do. I think that was one of our harder seasons in terms of usually when we podcast, we have a good time and we're always like, we feel invigorated. And then that one, every session, we just were like, ooh.
Danielle's like, so are we going to do a new season? And I was like, I think this is really, I'm so glad that we did last season. It was really important to do last season, but like, I need to heal a little bit. And as we keep saying, our talking about it is nothing compared to what so many people have gone through. So for even that kind of fragment of understanding, I'm thankful and I'm sorry, all of those emotions at once. But I think that's played into our trying to do something a little bit lighter this season. I mean, I want to say there is richness and there is depth to what we have to talk about, but it might not just leave me emotionally broken at the end of each one.
Yeah. And also just to say that Hagar's Voice podcast is still out there if people want to keep tracking with those beautiful, beautiful people that we love. Mm-hmm. So check out Hagar's Voice for more voices of survivors and advocates who are putting all beautiful things in the world. We're going to move on to a season that I've been wanting to do for like 2 years now.
And I think when we first started working together, you're like, I really want to do this series. And then stuff just keeps coming up. I don't know, you release books, the world falls apart. Yeah, there's just a few things happening.
Yeah. And so now we think, hey, I think it's time. And it's basically God at the Movies. This is God at the Movies. And basically it is the general idea that God is at work everywhere. Mm. And if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you can hear not just God speaking, but also the cries of humanity, the questions people have, the stories that are resonating in culture and in society. So like I've always been attuned to this, and I blame my father.
Mm. Tell us about that.
So when I was growing up, we would go see a movie and my dad would always, always, always after the movie say, okay, who is the good guy? Who is the bad guy? Do you agree with the premise of the movie? You know, like all these questions, basically helping me to critically think through what it was that I was just mindlessly watching. And and I remember my sister and I, we would just be like, oh, for Pete's sake, it was just a movie. You know, we'd just be like, but we would engage in the conversation. And then years later, I was at university. And for one of our courses, on culture and faith and culture or something, the assignment was to do this like critical analysis of a movie and where God was at work. And I mean, it took me 10 minutes to do the thing. Like, I literally was like, which movie? Pick a movie, any movie. And I just like did this thing. And I remember my professor afterwards was like, would you mind if I kept your,
okay,
your assignment?
That's some praise right
yeah,
there.
As like an example of what I'm looking for. And I was just like, sure. And I'll do 10 more movies like tomorrow. And so I realized that what my father had taught me was to critically think through what it was that I was witnessing. Mm. And I think that's a skill that sometimes we're lacking.
Sure.
And I think it's a skill we're lacking because I think for the most part, if you've been on a faith journey, you've kind of been taught like protect yourself against an onslaught of darkness or something like that, instead of actually engage with what it is, like actually engage with what it is that the media, the movies, the TV shows of culture, like critically think through them, and not in a way where you're like critiquing them all the time, but in a way where you're engaging with them in a meaningful way. What is it about this that resonates with you? What's true about it? What's false about it? What are the claims of this that are not true? What are the things that are happening? So we started to host, you know, years and years ago when I first started out in ministry, we started hosting God at the Movies.
Okay.
And we would do these showings of movies and we'd get into discussion groups and we would have, you know, sort of these discussions to guide us through it. I remember this lady named Estelle at the end of one of these things, she came up to me and she said, I hate God at the Movies. and I said, well, gee, you don't have to come. Like, it's an optional, you know, like, and she goes, no, I don't mean it like that. I just mean like the last time I watched a TV show with my daughter, I couldn't stop thinking like, who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? Do I believe what this movie's telling me? Like, what do I think? And she said, and I just was trying to like, you know, escape. And it turned out I couldn't. And I thought, you know, that's actually such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
That, yeah. Although I don't mind, you know, like I'm not anti-escape by any means. I've numbed out on a couple Netflix series myself. But what I mean is that we shouldn't turn our brain off. We shouldn't turn our spirit off. You know, we shouldn't turn God off ever. And so how do we begin to attune to what stories that move us, why they move us, how we see God at work in the world, what stories of culture are telling us something about that culture. So this is a series kind of along those lines.
So I really like the idea of engaging in things. I am, some of you will know, I was raised in a wonderful household and went to church a bit, but the idea of kind of Christian culture, I suppose, is quite foreign to me. And what little of kind of Christian culture I think I was exposed to was, to be gentle, a kind of worse version. So, you know, there was a kind of metal that I liked and it's like, no, but wait, there's this Christian metal. I'm like, is it good though? It's like, oh, and there's movies. Oh, but there's Christian movies. I'm like, are they just worse? And sometimes they are. And I think that's, you know, there's a discussion there about how we honor mediums and honor God through them. But sometimes they are really wonderful. And how do we spend time there? I think Danielle highlighting this idea of, we acknowledge that God is at work in all these places. I think Danielle and I say this a lot, that we believe God is in the process of redeeming all things. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, even Hollywood, I think, can be redeemed as much as it feels irredeemable at times and in places. We still see these beautiful kind of specks of light come through. And what can they teach us? What are these? Some of you will know that I'm emotionally very immature and unhealthy and don't process emotions very well. And as a result, I cry very rarely because it's, you know, that's weakness or something. Because I, you know, repression is how I deal with my feelings. But I remember when I was watching the movie The Green Mile. You ever watch that?
Yes.
Yeah. So The Green Mile, which it's like 20 years old. So I'm going to spoil the ending. But
it's
essentially,
classic. If you haven't seen that yet, you deserve a spoiled ending.
It is worth your time. But the main guy in it, played by Michael Duncan Smith, who has the initials JC as a name. So this is clearly some Christ allegories. It's not subtle, actually. But at the end, he is going to the executioner's chair. And it's just this most brutal moment. I cried. And I think it was the first time I cried in like 10 years or something. Wow. And so knowing that there was something that could like bring this out of me, I'm like, okay, there's got to be something beautiful. There's going to be something of Jesus in that to kind of really cut to my core in that way and get me thinking about vulnerability and sacrifice in a way that sometimes other mediums weren't doing. Mm-hmm. So that's something I kind of have in the back of my mind, though. There is something about that that filmmaking in particular can just evoke something in us and reveal us something that is good and beautiful. And so that's why I'm excited about kind of what's going on here and looking into these themes. Sometimes they're really overt themes about kind of Jesus and justice. Sometimes we have to dig a little bit deeper. Sometimes, and one of the things we've been talking about when working out this season, I hope you're as excited as we are, is that sometimes kind of Christian movies, and I'm doing air quotes for those of you that aren't watching this, the video of this, is that sometimes they seem to be lacking in actually some of those themes that are far more apparent in Jesus's life. Often they're quite sanitized, I suppose. When I look to the life of Jesus, I see something that is anything other than sanitary. And so I think there's kind of a permission there as well.
Yeah. And even this idea of like, these things are Christian and these things are not is a fascinating dualism that doesn't exist, I don't think. I just read Surrender by Bono, his life story. And one of the things he says in there is, you know, the only reason U2 wasn't a Christian band is because there was no Christian secular divide in Ireland.
Yeah.
Or else they would have been a Christian band. You know, they were Christians trying to make truthful music, and even justice focused music and things like that. So it's really an interesting, I think that, that idea, that dualistic idea that we go to the movies and it's not like a Christian, or we watch TV show and we're just a little bit ashamed to say it at church, you know? And I think, for this series, we also want to give a shout out to Hannah McNeely, who's going to do some discussion guides, for the movies that we're going to discuss, because she had this great idea the same time we were thinking of doing this podcast season, which is just basically like, instead of all secretly watching these shows and not talking about them and not processing them because we're ashamed because they're not Christian enough or whatever, what if we actually talked about it and talked about what we were feeling about it, what we were hearing from it, what God was stirring in us as we watched it? And wouldn't that be a much healthier way to engage in culture? The answer to that is yes. So, thank you, Hannah.
We have to wait until episode 5 to discover that.
We'll see. The answer to that is yes from us. And so, if you're like, maybe you're a parent, or maybe you're in a family, or maybe with a group of people, or maybe you're in a small group, or maybe you're like running a youth group, or whatever it is, and you think it might be helpful to have a look through some of these things that we're going to talk about, but also like with a discussion guide that might help you start teaching people how to engage with culture rather than constantly fight it all the time. I'm not talking about assimilate with culture. That's different. I'm talking about real, genuine engagement and seeing things. If you don't know, years ago, I wrote a book called The Zombie Gospel, which is how The Walking Dead taught me to be human. And it wasn't a very successful book. So there's that. I just want a full disclosure.
It turns out the intersectionality between people that watch Danielle at conferences and people that are super into ultra violent zombie shows isn't like a big point on the Venn diagram.
No, but a shout out too to IVP, the InterVarsity Press, were the ones that wanted to do it with me. And basically they were trying to go where they had not gone before. So that's partly part of the problem. And then also part of the problem, even in the marketing of that book and also the writing of that book, the editorial process of that book, is stumbling on what we're talking about here, which is we don't know how to do this very well. So like, it either has to be overtly Christian and we have to make it really clear in every chapter that Jesus is the savior of the, like, we can't deal with the ambiguity and sometimes the searing questions and like let them hang there for a while. Like we have problems. I remember William Booth, one of my favorite quotes of his was somebody saying to him, you know, I'm not called. And he says, not called. Have you not put your ear down to the cries of the widows and the orphans? Because that's all you need to do to know that you're called. And I feel like the stories of culture, you know, like historically they would be maybe told at a campfire or told in, you know, another way. But in our culture, in Western culture, at least, they're told through screens. And they're the ways we tell the stories of what makes us laugh, what makes us cry, what causes us angst, what questions we're asking. And so the stories of a culture, I think if you want to be attuned, if you want to be dialed into the culture that you're in such a way that Jesus could make some sort of sense and faith has some sort of place in it, I think tuning yourself out is probably not the wisest thing to do. But I also think assimilating where you don't think through anything and all you're doing is escaping and you're giving no analysis to what it is you're ingesting and you're just like ingesting it with no thought. That's also probably not the best way. So there's got to be another way. And this, I think, might be it. Well, hey, friends, this podcast has been brought to you by infinitumlife.com. That's a place to go check out a spiritual practice that is centered on Jesus, is about living love out loud in public. And it features practicing three postures, the posture of surrender, the posture of generosity, and the posture of mission or others-focused living. I believe that the practicing of our faith is where all the demonstration of the good news lies. It's not enough just to believe. It's not enough for you just to believe. We have to practice what it is that we believe. So Infinitum is created out of that place, out of a desire to help people practice their faith. Maybe you're brand new to faith in general. Maybe you're an explorer and wanting to discover. Maybe you're deconstructing from what you thought was a certain faith. And now you're like, ooh, I don't even know what I believe. Maybe you've just been really dormant for a long time. No matter what it is, Infinitum Life desires to help and to help you get curious, to help you live a life of wonder and discovery at the awesome ways God's love keeps beckoning us to the deep places. So if you want to go deeper and you want to go wider and you just want to experiment, there are all kinds of ways. If you're listening to this in December, there's an Advent guide and that has family-based practices and kid-based practices. If you want to go over to Infinitum Life podcast, there's lots of prayers there. If you go to the website, infinitumlife.com, there's like daily prayers, posture practices. There's ways to start getting involved. There's a thing called the 30-day challenge, which is 30 days. Why not in January? Why don't you make it your 30-day let's get in spiritual shape challenge? Grab a friend and start that. All of those things are free, by the way, and available to help reawaken the curiosity that would lead us to life. Creator sets free, Jesus. I hope it helps you. InfinitumLife.com.
I think it's recognizing that stories matter. I do think that humans are in this kind of curious place now that we think that things only matter if they're true, and they're only true if we can kind of measure them in a lab. And outside of that, it kind of stops mattering. But I'm really into science and evidence and all those things. I think those things are great. But I do think there is something important to recognize. The like, well, I don't know, is poetry true? What does that even mean? That doesn't even mean anything. Like, is story true? Well, what's the point of it? And so when people talk to me about kind of truth, and I like to bring up Jesus, I'm like, well, are the parables true? Because either they're true and, you know, Jesus, yeah, and they matter, but Jesus doesn't say this thing happened. So something doesn't have to have happened for it to be true, and it doesn't have to happen for it to be valuable. Because otherwise Jesus is just a liar, right? He's just saying things that aren't true. So they have to be true. They have to have value. And I think, yeah, the reality is that we're not gathering around for parables around a fire nowadays. We're watching Netflix. It is what it is. And so how do we engage? How do we pay attention? And what, as you say, what is important as well? I think that's something else we see in Jesus' parables. He touches on the things that are important at the time, the things that matter to the people that are listening. He evokes a response. And sometimes you're a really like dangerous response, his mm-hmm. parables. And so what kind of response are we seeing from stories today? And, you know, the medium of television and of film, I think tells us a lot about where we are.
Yeah, so we're going to cover some things like the Oscar Best Pictures. So we're just going to do an episode on that, if we can get through it in one episode.
I think that's going to be ambitious. But
so we're going to do an Oscars episode, and we're going to talk about The Last of Us. That's a big, big one based on a video game. And hopefully we're going to have a guest for that one. I'm not going to announce that till that's a real life thing, but I'm hoping to have a guest who's more of an expert than I and who I watch this with. There's a little, who might it be? Okay. And then we're going to go Squid Games. We're going to go Squid Games because that was a thing we really wanted to talk about like when it came out, and we just haven't had the time, but they're coming up with a sequel. So
yeah, you know what? We can get in just before that will be relevant again. So
that's right. But also that was important, and that was an important social moment. Mm. I think actually going back to The Walking Dead, that book was that for me as well. I thought it was an important cultural moment. And I remember, I was just going to share this. The reason I brought that up was not just to say I wrote a book.
It's your podcast. You can say it.
No, I know. Like, but the reason I brought it up was because I remember somebody saying to me like, this is just another cultural darkness. Like it's just culture throwing up darkness on people. Like stay away from it. Like kind of warning that it's unhealthy and unwholesome and, you know, not righteous and not good. And then I was, I remember watching it at night because my other friend had challenged me and said, I think it's some of the best writing I've ever seen. And the story is unbelievable. And I think it's important, you know, and it was the most popular show in history or something like that. Yeah. It was crazy. And so I was like, I put my headphones in at night and I would watch it at night when everyone else had gone to bed. So I wouldn't contaminate anyone else in my house. But I wanted to, with my friend's challenge, I really wanted to see for myself, what is this thing? Why is everybody so captivated by this? Like, what is? And what I heard very profoundly in my heart were questions. Like really beautiful questions, pretty much around the theme, what does it mean to be human?
Yeah.
Like, why are we even alive? And what makes us alive? And what makes us human? And then how do we live together? And what does society supposed to look like? And if all of the barriers were removed, who would we be? And what would it matter? And like, I mean, all of these like very deep questions. And if you ever wanted to talk about faith, these are all the questions you would want to talk about.
And do we need to be honest with ourselves and say, maybe the church has dropped the ball, maybe Christians have dropped the ball, and maybe if we'd been better at engaging those questions, people wouldn't be searching for those answers elsewhere. Because again, I think I know I have the answer to all of these questions, and his name is Jesus. But historically, it seems the church hasn't engaged in that way, and it means that people are looking for meaning and purpose and substance elsewhere. So how do we engage in those places and recognize that Jesus is revealing and redeeming those things too?
Yeah. And that's what I felt like. That's what I knew that parents, their kids were watching the show and they were like, I don't know, because I don't watch it because I don't feel comfortable watching. I'm not saying that people should watch, you know, gratuitous, violent, apocalyptic films, although those are all the rage these days. And that theme will be pretty clear to all
what
of us.
What else are you going
to
watch, Danielle?
That's right. But I do, you know, I do think somebody does need to not only like hang out enough to know that these are good questions and that they're worthy of discussion. I remember actually I was with a friend of mine and we were both at a table. We were talking about The Walking Dead. This was just as I was deciding to write this book. And we had a young waiter who was a student and he was just waiting on the side, you know, as a hustle. And we said to him, do you watch The Walking Dead? And he goes, yeah, I watch The Walking Dead. And we said, what's the big deal? Like, why is it such a big phenomenon? And he goes, I think it's pretty much the global angst of an existential crisis and people are needing meaning and trying to process their feelings around it. You know, we were all like, okay, like the answer from this waiter was so deep and beautiful and well thought out. And I think he was right. And I was going to miss it as a Christian leader. My temptation was going to be protect myself from this darkness, this filth. And why? Because it's violent, because there's swearing. And James, you and I were talking about this. You know, there's a website that you can go to for Christians on like what makes a movie watchable and what doesn't. And I'm not saying it's not a bad idea to protect your children from things they don't need to see. Like, for the record, I haven't taken my kids to The Walking Dead and they have not seen it. So there's that. But the website's like, you know, there's this many F words or like there's this many swear words or they take the name of God in vain or like, but the standards, they, you know, there's no sort of deeper standards of like, you know, is this raising a decent social justice question? Like, is this true? Is this, you know, is this worthy of discussion?
What is the role of women? Or what are the role of people of color in the
movies?
Right.
Is this misogynistic?
They don't ask these deeper questions. Like, does it pass the Bechdel test ever. Like,
yes.
I bet you none of those Christian movies do.
Yes, if you don't know, if you haven't been following along, the Bechdel test is there has to be two women with names who talk to each other about something other than a man. And that's surprisingly hard to find in the movies. Although now, more than ever, it's easier to find. But a couple of years ago, it was almost impossible. So, but even the treatment of women, that kind of stuff. And so sometimes we've made being a Christian, again, about this sort of shallow safety and about this like protection from something bad instead of this like engagement and this beautiful ability to ask questions and hang out in places where people are asking those questions. And even like you said, James, to be fully human, you know, to allow stories to move us, to allow our hearts to be moved by injustice, to allow our lives to be stirred up by things that aren't right. And stories have a powerful way of drawing out those things within us.
What else is on the, what else we got coming up, Danielle?
Oh yeah, some of your favorites coming up here. Well, we're going to talk about the Marvel Universe and sort of all of
it. We want to be hip to where society's at, and it feels a little bit neglectful.
Yeah, pray for my children because they might come school us on all things Marvel.
It's terribly embarrassing.
And tell us a little bit about that. We're going to talk about The Menu, which is one of James's favorites.
I'm super into The Menu right now, y'all. If you're listening to this and it's going to be a few weeks until The Menu episode comes out, please watch it because I really want to engage with folks on this. It's a weird
very
movie.
Disturbing, guys.
It's pretty dark, but it's
very
like
disturbing, but very fascinating.
Yeah.
So if you're into disturbing, like that's the movie for you.
Beautifully shot, wonderfully acted. Like there's, yeah, there is a lot to love about that film.
Oh, speaking of disturbing, this isn't on our list, but we might need to add it. It's Midnight Mass.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that one? Midnight, I think it's called Midnight Mass. I'll follow up on this one, but this might actually go with The Menu quite well.
Cool. Right.
But instead of it just being general social sort of commentary, it is a Christian, you know, it's got a faith element to it, which makes it even more interesting. Yeah, it's a very interesting Netflix season series.
That's right. It's like a mini series or something. Yeah.
We're going to talk about Jesus Revolution, The Good, The Bad, and The Chosen, probably in the same. And that's, you know, God at the movies, quite literally, the Jesus Revolution, the hippie revival, and the implications of that. And then I want to talk a little bit more about Lonnie Frisbee, a little bit more about Lonnie than the movie even did. But anyway, that should be fun.
I must say, I want to say I was cool enough to push back on this, but that was, I was like, are you really going to talk about Christian movies, Danielle? Are you going to do that to me? So we might have to find a couple of bad Christian movies just to like take the edge off of that for me. I don't know.
It's a good movie. It's well worth watching. I think it's, and I also just think that that time in history is coming up everywhere. And I think there's a reason for that. I'd like to talk about that. The Woman King, which was the Oscar snub of the year. I can't believe it. Viola Davis.
You can, right?
I mean, it's just unbelievable. But anyway, I'm hoping Cheryl Nemhart is going to come as a guest for that one.
Rockstar.
We watched it together and we have a lot to say about that movie and it was just so moving. So we're going to have
her.
What
does that movie not have? Yeah, if you're listening to this and haven't seen it, what you need to watch this movie.
Yeah. The Mandalorian. We're going to talk about The Mandalorian and the Star Wars sort of whole thing. But I think The Mandalorian is a fascinating, interesting, popular, weird thing. And I think we should talk about it. And there's probably a couple other really violent ones we're going to talk about because we'll probably wrap this thing up with a redemptive violence myth expose at the end here. So
as one who's like the biggest fan of movies and shows about redemptive violence and one of the people most repulsed by the lie of redemptive violence, I need to kind of work out that tension within myself for the next few weeks.
Yes, that recipe of that redemptive violence myth and it being perpetuated. Oh, but in the Oscar Best Picture, of course, one movie will help us with that. So that's a little teaser, but you don't maybe, I don't know, you might get that, you might not. But anyway, stay tuned because this season is going to be full of that. If there is something that you would love us to cover that we haven't and you just think like you're missing a big, big one, like for example, I'm very tempted to cover The Little Mermaid that's coming out as a live action because I think it's like the coolest movie ever. I might watch that and then we might have a conversation about The Little Mermaid because I think that's kind of neat. But if there's something that you think that's like, hey, you cannot miss this, just on Instagram or wherever you see something on this podcast, reach out on the website and just say, hey, consider this, guys. That'd be fantastic. We would love it and we would consider it.
Yeah, these are like a lot of fun for us to do. So we're happy to keep on going.
Who is it that said that a really good preacher would always have their Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other?
I think it was Karl Barth, who's one of the very influential theologians of the 20th century.
Yeah. And then I forget who told me this, but it was someone that I listened to and they gave me advice as they said, if you really want to be a really good communicator, read fiction.
Yeah. I've listened to you talk about that actually. It's, yeah. After our book series, I'm like, oh man, I'm going to have to read some just to stop reading fiction. History.
But I think this is a similar, I think movies and TV shows are so good in these days that it's almost, you know, now book lovers are going to hate me for this, but it's almost a similar, you know, you're immersing yourself in a world that is a story. Yeah. And that's the power of story. You know, it's one of Jesus's favorite ways to communicate, not only himself in person on earth, but also through the scriptural witness.
Without parables, like, he taught them nothing.
No, but also without stories, what is the Bible? If you took all the stories out, and I'm not saying whether they're true or not true, it doesn't matter. But like, if you took the stories out of the Bible's done. It's over. There's a lot of stories and characters and arcs and like, you know, all these things. I mean, it's incredible. So let's believe that God is at work all the time in our culture, speaking. There's actually another quote by somebody who said, when God couldn't be heard in the church, he showed up at the movies, which was also a very powerful, you know, where you started to see movies that were just telling the truth about the human condition or telling the truth about the need for hope or relationships or community or, you know, a hero or a savior or, you know, and you can see this all through, all of the things. Every good movie has its origin in the gospel. Really, ultimately, if you break it all the way down, it's going to be like, we need saving.
it's redemption, right? It's redemption. It's reliefs. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it, guys. Thanks for hanging with us and thanks for tracking with us. And if you're new, we're glad you're here and we hope that you enjoy this and it's helpful. And like I said, in the show notes, there'll be a link to the discussion guides. So if those are helpful, they're free and they're for you. Hope you enjoy it.
Thanks for being here.